What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Yesterday, we began to look at who is Christ? Because that's a question that Jesus asked his disciples. So that you don't just go through the motion. You don't just go through the routine of just say, I'm a Christian. That when the Bible says, if a man be in Christ, we need to sit down and think about it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, the Bible says he's a new creation. He's a brand new species of being. That is actually the original rendering in the Greek. That if someone is in Christ, that person should stop, listen to me, tracing his roots from his natural offspring. That person, I'm not saying you forget where you were, your tribe. That's not what I'm saying. But we're saying in your mind, something has to catch up. That if any man be in Christ, he is now a new creation, a new species of being, or a new kind of being. It says, behold, all things are what? Have passed away, and all things have become new. So there's something about being in Christ. There's something about being in Christ. And as Christians, you know, we sometimes read scriptures in a hurry, but that's where the power of meditation comes in. That if you can pause and think that, wait, where am I now? And you're able to answer that question. I am in who? I'm in Christ. Then you need to take it further and ask yourself, so who is Christ? And if I'm in him, are we together? If I'm in him, what does it mean? Does it just mean that because I'm in Christ, because I'm saved now, I need a change of clothes? Are you with me? All there is to be in Christ, is it to talk in a particular way? Are you with me? Is that all there is to be in Christ? Or can I even go further? Is it that all there is to be in Christ is to be in church? To attend church services and is that all? That could be part. Am I talking to someone? But then, is that all? So you see, when you begin to ask these questions, when you begin to regurgitate on God's word, your spirit man will begin to mingle with the spirit of God's word. And then the power of scriptures will come alive in every part of your being. No wonder Paul told Timothy, meditate upon these things. One translation says, think about these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may be evident to all. Why was he telling Timothy to meditate upon it? What he was telling Timothy is that if you can think deeply about the things I'm saying and think deeply about what it means to be in Christ, you will know certain things. Light will come to you. Are we together? And when light comes, everyone who is around you will know that you are walking in a new threshold of light that is evident for all to see. So we began to look at it yesterday. And yesterday, we couldn't really even get to who is Christ, but we began to look at it. Because the theme of this meeting is possessing the gate, or possess the gate. We saw from the book of Genesis 22 that when Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah, something significant happened there. The Bible says, God himself spoke to Abraham and said, "Now, don't touch that lad. Now I know that you do what? You fear me, that you've not held back your only son from me." You know, that only son there is very important. Because if Abraham, I told yesterday, on behalf of humanity, you see, God was going to get into covenant with men. And for that contract to be legal, are you with me? By terms of covenant, the type of covenant that Abraham was getting into with God, are you following? It's such that Abraham can give anything to God, and God can give anything to Abraham. That's why it's a blood covenant. And that's why marriage is a blood covenant. In marriage, you don't hold back anything. All that is yours becomes your wife's. And of course, it's the other way too. All that is yours becomes your husband. Because you are in a blood covenant. You didn't just sign a court word. It's not court word. It's not paper. It's not a paper thing. So that kind of covenant demands that if God is going to give his all for a man, then a man should be able to give his what? His all for a God. And that's what Abraham demonstrated. Because this is a son of promise. He waited for years, 25 years, for this word to become a reality in his life. And God says, that son whom your heart is bound to, take him and offer him up. Because I'm going to also offer my own son to you. And this your son will become a type of my son, offered on the hill. Do you see the similarities? Abraham is offering his son on the hill. God's son is also offered on the hill. And scripture tells us that God swore to him. He said, look, I'm going to, because of this thing you've done, I'm going to make your descendants to be multiplied like the sand upon the seashore. They will become a multitude of people. I began to look at scriptures and discover that multitude of people that scripture is talking about is not the Jews, because the Jews are not even the people with the highest population. Do you get it? They don't have the highest population on earth. So he couldn't definitely have been talking about, I don't know the current population of the Jews, but it obviously wasn't them. I think the Indians have the largest population of people. So if there's anyone physically that will come close to what God was saying, it could be maybe the Indian or the Chinese. Glory. But definitely not the Jews. Small nation. So when God was speaking to Abraham, what I want you to see, church, which is very important, is that we need to change our perspective when we read those stories. To see that God was going far beyond Abraham's day to speak of the day you are inside. Galatians chapter 3. You know, I want you all to be students of God's word. You need to understand. Understanding is powerful. Understanding is powerful. Galatians chapter 3. Someone say, back to Galatians again. Yes, we're there. We need to grind this thing until we're established in it. Galatians chapter 3. God was talking to me. You know, I read those scriptures with a different light. I'm not reading it and God is talking about multitudes, and I'm like, wow, God, look at the wonderful things you said concerning the Jews. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 2, verse 28? That a true Jew is not one who is Jew outwardly or has received the circumcision. A Jew is one who is a Jew, how? Inwardly, and has received the circumcision. What is that circumcision? Which is the circumcision of the spirit. Hallelujah. So Galatians chapter 3. So we are the true Jews. I know the same way the physical Jews are so hated. How many of you noticed? That's how Christians are hated. Because we are spiritual Jews. We are the seed of Abraham. And there is a mandate upon our lives to possess the gates. I'm sure this evening we'll be able to look deeper into the gates. But Galatians chapter 3, let's look at verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore, know that only those who are of faith. How many of you are of faith? Those of you watching me, are you of faith? He said, only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Notice, he didn't say we are a type of the sons of Abraham. He says, we are the sons of Abraham. Why? Abraham was accepted as right or righteous before God on the basis of believing. And scripture is also saying that if you can believe the way Abraham believed, then you are Abraham's offspring. And what that means invariably is that what he says to Abraham, he says to you. So he says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Say, and the scripture, look at verse 8 now, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. He preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, before you ever came, before you came. And don't get it wrong. It's the same gospel that we are preaching today with the same mandate The same promises attached to that gospel is the same gospel that he preached to Abraham. And listen to me, there are no two gospels. There's only one. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. You know, I hear someone say, oh, it's like some of you, you have tilted more towards this message of grace. I say, there's no other message. There's only one message. Some of us feel Jesus came to give multiple messages, to deliver multiple. That's not what he came to do. There's only one message. And that's why I say, whatever career you want to succeed in, whatever God has called you to do, whatever God has asked you to be in, listen, you've heard me say this time without number, I'm still going to say, God doesn't have, how many of you have heard some of the teachings on purpose? And it looks as though, what's your purpose? What's your purpose? What's your purpose? God doesn't have multiple purposes. He has one purpose. His purpose is what we're going to see soon. Is only expressed in different ways. There are different expressions, but it is geared towards one purpose. If you go and meet God and you ask him, you won't say, I have three agendas for the world. No. One day I'm going to take you guys through the book of Romans. And I'll help you to see some of the things I saw that God showed me. I discovered that when God looks at the earth, he only sees three categories of people. As far as God is concerned, there are only three races. So I said, what are the three races? They are Christians, they are Jews, and unbelievers. There's nothing like Tiv, there's nothing like Idoma, there's nothing like Swahili, there's nothing like Caucasian. As far as it's concerned, there are three categories, three races of people. And you know, the word race is not uttered by God. He only sees people. And these people are in three categories. Either they are Christians or they are what? They are Jews of his covenant friend Abraham, or they are Gentiles. That's why if you read the Bible, the same way scripture says in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor what? Gentile. That is the same way. And among unbelievers, there is neither Jew nor what? Gentile. If you are not saved, you are unsaved. And that is why we are here, to reach as many people, irrespective of tribe, irrespective of borderlines, irrespective of geography, to establish the purpose of God in their lives. So it's very important we establish that. So the Bible says, God preached this gospel to Abraham, this same gospel we're preaching. And look at one of the core elements of that gospel. What did he say to him? Beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. In you all nations shall be blessed. You know, I'm speaking to us, church, and I'm bringing us into another perspective, because we need to understand this to function like God wants us to function. Somebody say, you keep saying that. Yes. And you're going to say it. And you're already seeing it. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So, how many of you agree that when God was speaking to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, that in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed? That is the same thing God is saying to you today. So lift your hands if you can and say, in me, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Maybe you didn't get the weight of what you just said. That means you seated here are designed to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. I was thinking about this, you know, this morning while meditating God's word. I said, the Bible says, listen now, maybe we should read that, Genesis 12. Go to Genesis 12 so that we see where God said it to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. This is a pathway to possessing the gates. Genesis chapter 12. So the more I think about who I am in Christ, the more I say to myself, the world is mine. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. How many of you see God creating a race? Did you ever see the Jewish nation tracing their race to Abraham's father? Did you ever see the Jewish nation ever tracing their race to Abraham's grandfather? So as far as they are concerned, there is no history after Abraham. But Abraham came from somewhere. Abraham did not drop from the sky. Abraham did not just appear. Abraham didn't just show up. Abraham, as far as the Jewish nation believed, that the reason they exist is because God entered into covenant with a man by the name Abraham. So their history starts with whatever is said to Abraham. Does that sound like if any man be in Christ? So when God said, Abraham, get out of your father's land, Get out of your country home to a land that I will show you. I want you to notice, the destination is a place. It's a land. But he had to come out of a system. He had to come out of a mindset. That means there was an already existing mindset, an already existing system that couldn't have done what God wanted him to do. So God said, you have to do what? You have to come out. You have to leave that place. And from you, I'm birthing another what? Nation. Up until Abraham, all human race came from one man, Adam. When God got into covenant with Abraham, I don't know about you, this is getting me excited. When God got into covenant with Abraham, there were two races. The Adamic race, are you listening? And the race God had started by reason of covenant with who? Abraham. That's why I told you that now there's a third race. The one he started in Christ Jesus. Do you get it? That's why scripture uses words like we have come out. And how many of you know you've come out? We no longer trace our origin to where we're coming from. We trace it from the point of covenant on the cross with Christ Jesus. And what was the instruction? I will make you a great nation. But that's where a lot of people in church stop. That I will make you a great nation. But it didn't stop there. He says, I will do what? I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Do you know how most Christians read that passage? Because it's a shift in our mindset. You know how most Christians read that scripture? I've come out of my father's land. The things I used to do, I do them no more. I'm now a new creation in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that's true? I'm a new creation. My life is changed. I'm a new person. Glory to God. Amen. Then they now took us a step further that we are blessed. Wow, I'm blessed. We are favored. Then we like the part that says what? I will bless you and I will make your name great. Oh, you know what it means to make your name great? Of course, you know. It's not talking about having a long name. It says, I'll make your name great. That means I'll make you a brand. But do you know what it says next? And you shall be a blessing. We don't read that part. You know how we read it? And people shall be a blessing to me. So we have not, listen now. We have not thought of the part that's, the part of the inheritance that says, you, the ultimate aim is that you shall be a blessing. So a lot of times we are not thinking of how to be a blessing. We are thinking of how someone can bless us. And hear this. You hear someone's testimony of what God has done in his life. The next question is, when will it be me? You're waiting for your time. How many of you have heard all those time messages? I believe there are times and seasons. I'm not denying that. But see, while you're waiting for someone to come and bless you with a house, why not read that whole thing holistically and begin to see yourself be a blessing to the nations of the earth with houses? Then those who connect with what you do. Notice, he said, I will bless those who bless you and curse them who curse you. Don't read it too fast. What he's saying is this. As you set out and you're on your way, being a blessing to people, everyone connected to you now begins to expand the way you expand. That means you become a force to be identified with. No one can stop you. So you look at the physical Jew today. How are they a blessing to people? Is it because nations are going to give them money? Okay, let's bring it this way. How is God a blessing to you? He's a blessing to me because there are benefits and provisions he makes available to me. True or false? He empowers me to do certain things. He shows me favor. He opens doors for me. If you agree with that definition of a blessing, let me see your hand up. All right, good. Those of you watching, you get what I'm saying? So if the Bible says you're going to be a blessing, what are you meant to be doing? You're supposed to be empowering people. You're supposed to be solving problems. You're supposed to be lifting people. You are not the one looking to be lifted. God has empowered you to be the lifter. So that is the part I need us as a church to begin to focus on. Because that is the way to possess gates. So I look at the physical Jews. I've not been to Israel, but I think I want to go now. Amen. But I was talking with Pastor Steve, and you know, he was there a couple of years ago with his wife. And he was sharing with me how when you come to the airport in Israel, you know, you just begin to see displayed everywhere Nobel Prize winners who are of the Jewish stock. And in history has shown that close to 65% of the people who win Nobel Prizes, are you with me, are Jews. Why? I read this in a Jewish rabbi's some years ago. I was studying some things on circumcision. I want you to get this. That when they bring the child on the eighth day and they are circumcising the child in accordance with the instruction to Abraham, the rabbi takes that child and there's something the rabbi says to that child before circumcising that child. Because that circumcision becomes a seal of their covenant with the eternal God. So this is what they believe. That this world, God has made them co-creators with himself. And that the world is imperfect. So they view the world as an imperfect world. So by virtue of this circumcision as a child, we are covenanting you, are you with me, to the eternal one, to become a co-creator with him in perfecting the world he saw in his heart. So from that very day, that Jewish child is not looking for who will give him something. They already have this sense as the world belongs to them and they are responsible for the world in providing solutions to the world. So that their culture is designed to stir questions, to ask questions, to see the imperfections in the world and provide solutions for them. And then, you know, most of the technology we are using today has its origin in Israel. Even in the midst of this whole so-called pandemic, are you aware that the Jews have swung into action in looking for the vaccine, while some other people are producing vaccines too? Are you me? Why? Because the moment there is a problem, something in their heart does what? Rises up. We have the solution. This is how the natural Jew thinks. Listen to me. When you tell the Jew that you are blessed to be a blessing, it's not to sit down waiting for who is going to bring things to them. It's that they are thinking of how they can churn out things for you. Listen to me, church. And that's why they possess gates. They hold the American economy. They are everywhere. You know, one of the issues that the likes of Hitler had with the Jews, you know, I was listening to one Holocaust survivor, and he said that he doesn't think that Hitler hated the Jews. He only felt Hitler was afraid of the Jews. Because you don't kill a rat because you hate it. You kill it because you are afraid of it. You are afraid of snakes. That's why you kill it. And as I was watching him, I said, wow, see the way he's thinking. He just said, look, it's not hatred. Are you getting me? Because they were all over Germany and they were all over Europe. And they were wondering how these wanderers, because after the Great Disillusion, you know, the Jews for many years were spread as wanderers all over Europe. Yet, wherever they were planted, some of them, oh Jesus, some of them would come into a place and get themselves into a small room. And before you know it, whatever they start there becomes a brand that takes over the whole world. You know the Levi Strauss jeans that we wear? I mean, you know, they were Jewish immigrants who started in a basement of a house, because as they are going there, they are going with this ownership mentality that no land belongs to any man. Every land belongs to God. And God has willed the land. God has willed this land to Abraham and his descendants. And we are the descendants of who? Abraham. So they begin to say to themselves, as far as our eyes can see, because God told our father, as far as his eyes can see, he will give to them. Now, this is the true concept of possessing. It means that you see something as yours, you take ownership of it. Am I talking to someone? And then you take active steps, deliberate steps to occupy it. Isaiah 54, verse 1. So let me ask you a question. The blessing of God is upon you. Redemption has brought you into a new race. Your sins are forgiven. Are you understanding me? Your sins are what? Are forgiven. God is not angry with you again. That's a blessing. But it doesn't end there. You've been blessed to be a blessing. That's why I believe that there are people listening to me right now. Your eyes will begin to look at sectors. You'll become a co-creator with God. We will rise up from where we're sitting and then understand the mandate upon our lives. Isaiah 54 verse 1. That's why I'm so excited about this whole thing that has happened. You know, this whole pandemic has not destroyed anything. As a matter of fact, it has opened my eyes to new opportunities. Do you know, some people are just waiting for the COVID to be over to return back to their life. But let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You are not going to return to the life you left some weeks ago. Okay, that's a good place to say amen. But that's not exactly what I was saying. What I was saying is that even in the natural, you are not returning back to the life you were in before. Everything has changed. School calendar has changed. Those of you who are students, those of you who work, salary structures will change. The economy is going to go through different motions because you can't keep an economy standing still for 2 months and expect to come back to it the way it was. That means opportunities are going to open up, gaps. While others are suffering, people will be stepping into their moment. Do you get me? Listen, that's the same way in the realm of the spirit. There are also deposits. And that's why I believe that this meeting is coming at a very... It's coming right on time, preparing you to seize the opportunities that this so-called pandemic has created. You know why? That's how you possess the gates. May it not be said of you that you were the same after the famine, before the famine, during the famine, and after the famine. Let me tell you how the blessing works. Did you see Abraham? Before I go to Isaiah 54, Genesis 12. So anytime there's a pandemic, there are issues like this, we are not of them that cry. White men say there's a casting down, others will say there's a lifting up. And some of you, oh glory to God, and now I'm speaking to people this morning, you will understand who Christ is. When the Bible says you're in Christ, ideas will begin to come. You will move with a Christ consciousness. That's why I told you that Christ is a state. Are you getting me? Is the anointed one. You have become the anointed. That's why the church is referred to as the body of Christ. We are the anointed ones. For what? A friend told me some years ago that he went for a meeting in a church. I don't call the name of the church. And they called him out. And he didn't even know why they called him out. His pastor just walked up to him and said, go up there. So he came up. And then they prayed for them, anointed them. So he was going back. After the meeting, they said, all the pastors should wait behind. So he was leaving. So they called his name. They shouted. They said, you should come back. He said, no, he's not a pastor. So his pastor looked at him and said, what do you think we're doing there? He said, the hands that were laid on you, you are not a pastor. So he had to call me and ask me. He said, Pastor Roman, is that how people become pastors? Because I'm not aware. That means there was an anointing upon him, but he didn't know what for. What? You are a member of the body of Christ, the anointed one. For what? To beg? Are you anointed to loiter around? What are you anointed for? Come on, let me see. If you're anointed, let me see your hand up. What are you anointed for? Wait. Are you anointed so that you can carry it as one of your paraphernalias? Are you getting me? Or wait, are you waiting to become a pastor? I'm anointed for something. And listen to me, that anointing is upon you. Those of you, the anointing is upon you. It's upon me. Have you ever thought of it? I am anointed. Genesis chapter 12. Now let's read verse 10. It says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to where? Egypt, to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And you all know what happened. When he went to Egypt, he started looking for his wife. The king wanted to have his wife. And you all know what transpired. God granted him what? Favor. And he came out. And the king was always giving him gifts because of his wife. See what God uses. Amen. And when Pharaoh wanted to have something to do with his wife, see, don't play with covenant people. We've been sharing 7 days of favor, right? Favor is not fair. That's why you can't look at the Bible through the eyes of legality. You know, some people say, but is that fair? No. God's justice system is blood. It's favor. I am in covenant with this person. That's the important thing. I would do anything for him, regardless of what you think. You know, some Christians don't even know what it means when we say that you are in covenant with God through Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus has eternally bound you to God. Listen. God has no other plans for me other than what he agreed with Jesus before Jesus went on the cross. So I am eternally secure in the love of God. I'm not afraid that God will hurt me or harm me. He has lost the ability to harm me. I know some of you are still struggling with it. God cannot, not while there is a cross. See, some of you keep going around, I lost money in that business, that's why I'm where I am. You think God will leave me there? Excuse me. You think God will leave me there because I lost some money? You remember the parable of the prodigal father? Didn't the boy waste the money? Stop crying over money. Some of you lost 150,000 since January. You have not been able to think. You have not been able to go out of it. You are stuck in there. Even though because I gave this person my 150, I know where I would have been by now. Even though because I gave this person my 150K, I know exactly what I would have been. What would is exactly where you are that you are? I've seen people who put their lives on pause because of one event. Never allow one event define your whole life. Never, never. That boy wasted the thing. The money was gone. He didn't even think of how to repay. He was just thinking of how to eat. You're not thinking of how to come and compensate his father and say, okay, I wasted the money. No. You're just saying, if I can just get something to eat. And the father had bigger plans. Take me as one of your hired servants. Because what do hired servants do? They are not involved in issues of administration. Hired servants are not involved in the affairs of the house. They give instruction to servants. That's what he wanted to be. If you just give instruction, but at the end of the day, let me find something to eat. Oh, but the father said, no. From afar off, the father ran. His heart pulsating, grabbed him, brought him back, sat him down. And you know, we read scriptures like storybooks. You know what it means to put a ring on your hand? It means you have authority in this house. Put a robe on him, you are accepted. The shoes on him means you are accepted. The robe means you have your place in this house like nothing ever went wrong. Is it you think his father did that? You think his father was doing that because he's not a good boy? His father was doing that because he has a covenant. He's his son. I am God's son. That's why Jesus has been made redemption to me. He's my redemption. I've been redeemed. So there is nothing that I want to go into that I'm thinking whether it will fail or it will succeed. It must work. There's no failure in my path. When Pharaoh wanted to have something to do with Sarah, who showed up? It was God. Amen. And guess what, God? He plagued the whole of Pharaoh's house. Plagued all of Pharaoh's house. There was no single plague on Abraham. Everything went barren in Pharaoh's house. Chicken, even the cockroaches went barren. Because he touched a covenant man's wife. Glory to God. The guy started wondering, started checking. It was in the course of checking. They say you are touching something you are not supposed to touch. If your eyes are open to see how important you are in the realm of the spirit, you will not bother about the color of your shoes. I'm a very important person. I was telling someone, I said, look at me, I'm a very, very important person. Some people can't even say that about themselves. I'm a very important, listen, you know, it has changed my whole perspective. Like, that's why there's nothing you give to me that is too big. I'm like, me like this, you gave me this, nothing. There is nothing. Everything you do, you give to me, I'm grateful and I receive it with thanksgiving. But you never hear me say, oh, why? I had a very interesting story. A little girl, okay, she shouldn't be that little again. She should be about 10 or 11. I think it was her 7th birthday or 8th birthday. They took her out to this really nice restaurant. And when she came there, you know, with her aunties, they were all there. And they had to put a blindfold on her. Little girl, 7 years. They brought her to this restaurant. When they took the fold off and she saw the place, she just started crying. I say, all this for me? All this for me? Why? All this for me? And you know, the parents were touched. The mother was touched. The aunties were touched. They say, oh, she's so mature. And that's the same attitude we have towards God. That when God is doing something like, yes, all this for me? I'm not saying you shouldn't be grateful to God. Don't get me wrong. But you are worth everything God does for you because of the sacrifice of Jesus. You are worth it. And you know the simple attitude God wants you to have? Receive it with thanksgiving. See, that's all God wants. Be thankful for it, not be sober for it. I know I'm getting into different things. Don't be sober for it. Don't be sober. Why are you sober? You are worth Jesus. How did Jesus receive everything the Father gave to him in his earthwork? Did you ever see Jesus say, Father, all this for me? He's worth everything. If I want the legion, I can call for them. That means he knew he had the right to it. I know your picture is being altered. You cannot win the world thinking like a pauper. You can't possess any gates thinking mediocre, thinking weak. Why did I get here? It was a famine. God spoke to Abraham. He moved. Look at verse 13. Scripture says, and Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abraham was very what? Rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. He didn't say that the famine was over, but he prospered in the famine. Listen now, What that means is that in the midst of a famine, there were opportunities for who? Abraham. To let you know that it is not a coincidence. You see the same thing in Genesis 26. We'll not go there. In the life of Isaac, the Bible said there was a famine in Isaac's day beside the one in Abraham's time. And how did Isaac end up? He ended up how? Wealthier. To the point, listen, this is how we possess the gate. To the point that Isaac was so wealthy, the commander of the army of Eshcol, the king, now came to him and said, let's make a what? Let's make a peace treaty with you because there's a way our sons treated you and want you to know that we didn't have a hand in it. That means this man was powerful enough that he could take a nation. And they knew that if they don't make peace with him, they could be in trouble. In the midst of famine, in the midst of calamity, in the midst of turbulence, God gave him wisdom. Hi. God gave him understanding. He was able to see gaps. If you don't step into this realm, these meetings will come and go year after year. You will be in the same place until you begin to realize that there is a place, a niche that has been what? That has been carved out for who? For me. And take hold of it. You know why? You can't possess gates without power. You can't possess gates without wisdom. You can't possess gates without being a blessing. People who possess gates have something they offer to humanity. That is why they can direct what goes and what comes. Do you know why it always looks as though the church is at the beggar's end? It's because we are not generating the value needed to command the attention of those who need to hear us. If you take the gates of commerce in Makurdi, CFC Makurdi, let me tell you, there is nothing that will want to happen in Makurdi that your opinion will not be sought after. That's how you possess gates. I'm going to show you later in the evening, if we get there. When the Bible talks about the 31st ladies, you know, men like to read that scripture for their wives. Be a 31st woman. Be a 31st woman. You hear? Be a virtuous woman. Somebody was talking to me recently. He said, you know, this lady comes to your church, but she's not learning what virtuous women do. And of course, he was in a bad shape, so I didn't want to add to his problem. But I wanted to tell him that, you know where the 31st woman's husband sits? The Bible says he sits at the gate at the council of who? Elders. That means he's a respected man. He has a voice at the gates. You can't lazy around and come. This is not a men of faith convention. Well, listen to me, men. Be the kind of woman you want to marry. You must show the lead. You can't cross your leg every day, complain. Up to now, you're still complaining about money. Complaining about money for soup. And you are telling your wife to be a 31st lady. No, you are telling her to farm for you to eat. You're just a hungry man. Vexing your frustration. But that has changed forever. No, you need to get that. The Bible said this woman's husband was where? Was at the gates. So maybe we should write the 31st man too. Sound relevant? I see the day when I'm entering Makurdi. I know what I'm saying. Because I know what God said about Christ Family Center Makurdi. When the reins of power and influence will be in the hands of those in church. So there's a promise. Is that what you mean? That's what I want you to see first. You are called to be a blessing. Say, I'm called to be a blessing. Is it not adversity? We saw it in the life of Abraham. We just saw it in the life of Isaac. What pushed Jacob to the house of Laban? How did he arrive in Laban's house? Adversity. It was trouble. It was unrest. His brother was threatening to kill him. Wasn't he blessed? Okay. But he was blessed to be a blessing. I was talking to a young man a few days ago. I know you're just complaining and complaining and tell your neighbor, stop sulking. Nobody's responsible for where you are except you. You know, it's easy to blame. It's harder to take responsibility. It's easy. It's easy when you can take the bulk and put it on someone and then you have temporary rest. You exonerate yourself. And that's why I don't like, that's why I'm not always comfortable around people who always have a reason why something is not working. There's always a reason why something is not working. You have to take responsibility. Are you getting me? If you do a sum total of your life and every time there's a reason, the reason you are where you are is because of someone, it means that there's something about that person that is superior, that makes you inferior to that person. Jacob ran. got to his uncle's house thinking he would find Sukkot. What was his uncle doing to him? Was using him. But was he used? No. He was generating what? Value. He was blessed to be a blessing. Do you know he was a blessing to Laban? Don't get me, he was a blessing to Laban. In fact, he told Laban, he said, since I came to your house, your cattle, your flock has done what? Has multiplied, it has increased. That means I brought something here. I'm not just a consumer, I'm a producer. I brought something here. I brought something to the table. You might not be giving me what is due me, but I know I brought something. I know where you were, and I know what I brought here. So I want to leave. What did his uncle say? He said, don't go, young man. I have learned by experience. And that word is oracles. That means I went to consult with my gods and they told me the reason I'm where I am is because you are here. That means even the devils know who you are. But he was using him. So he said, we're going to get into agreement. Wisdom for takeover. So he said, look, this same thing I'm doing, we're going to transact it on a different platform. It's not a new thing. I was talking to Pastor Simon a few days ago, and we're talking about a particular brother in church. I said, look, do you know the guy is highly talented? He's very skilled. But he won't make progress the way he's acting. Someone said, how is he acting? He doesn't have wisdom. Skill is not wisdom. He's skillful. He is talented. But it's not the same thing as what? As wisdom. Wisdom is a deep faculty. And Jacob, after doing his time, wisdom came. And what was the wisdom? We are going to transact. He saw an opportunity. Oh, he wants me here. If I'm going to be here, this is my moment. That means he had generated value that his bosses could not do without him. And he could, you see, but he built over time. He built over time. You know, a lot of you are just looking for where, you know, you're just looking for, see, don't be a garage boy. Don't be Ovese Kekwanam. Don't be that kind of find something and give me person. So, says, I'm going to leave. He says, you're going nowhere. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll transact. He even allowed his uncle to dictate the what? Because at first he said, when the speckled ones come, the uncle said, no, I'm going to have the what? The clean ones. But you know, just after that, did you see the power of God working for him? That's the blessing. That's the supernatural element that you will not find in all those books you read. There was a supernatural element to what he was doing. And it started coming out after their breeding season. Speckled, 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 clean, speckled, 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 clean. And it was said that all the wealth in this person's house, Laban, had been transferred to Jacob. Someone said, why? Because the promise that he's the owner of the world is to Abraham and his seed. See how his physical seeds have taken it. Now, Paul is showing us from Galatians that those people are not the ones that word was said to. Meaning that there's something about the believer that the believer is yet to uncover. It was the Spirit of Christ operating in these people that positioned them to excel. What was happening in Isaac? It was the Spirit of Christ. What was happening in Jacob? It's the Spirit of Christ. What was happening in the nation of Israel? It was the Spirit of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul now says, this is the mystery which has been what? Hidden from many generations, but now has been what? Revealed to us. And what is that mystery? Christ in us. He didn't say Jesus in us. It's that you need to understand Jesus as the Christ. Christ in us. The hope of the glorious life. I carry greater than what Abraham had. Greater than what Jacob had. Greater than Isaac. That's the physical Jacob. That's the physical Isaac. But I bring you good news. There's a spiritual Isaac. There's a spiritual Jacob. There's a spiritual Abraham here right now, standing before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Then I'll go to 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 23. But we preach who? We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, what? Foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So let me ask. In Paul's letters, how is Christ introduced to us? How is Jesus introduced to us? He's introduced as the Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But I may remember yesterday when I asked, who is Jesus to you? Who is Christ to you? What was the answer? He's my Savior, which is good. That's why I said none of the answer was wrong. He's my savior. He's my what? He's my healer. He's my warrior. And that person said he's my redeemer. He's my friend. Glory to God. Do you need power in this life? Do you need wisdom in this life? Do you know how Christ was introduced to us in the epistles? He was introduced as power and wisdom. And what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians said, is that these are the two lines upon which the world is divided. The Greeks are looking for power to get things to work. The Greeks are seeking intellectual what? Knowledge. That's what wisdom means. They are looking for insights on how to explain things. How many of you know that Greek philosophy and philosophers have shaped even modern education? The Pythagoras you study in mathematics, who are they? They are Greeks. The Aristotles and the Platos you hear of, who are they? They are Greeks. Do you know these are men who have formed even the basis of our legal system? It's their ideologies that shape the world. Till date, I don't know if it has changed. I studied Pythagoras, his theory. Pythagoras' theory is over 1,000, it's over 2,000 to 3,000 years old. I'm still studying it. That means somebody, what we call school is what somebody sat down and thought of. It's somebody's discovery that we now begin to learn, and we call it education. So when you pay money to go to school, is that you're paying money to go and learn what somebody discovered. Why won't people pay money? Why won't people organize around what you have discovered? So when the Bible says Christ is the wisdom of God to you, hi, he's saying that there is something about you that can cause the world to study you. The Greek is seeking wisdom. The Jew is seeking what? He's seeking power. But the way God brought it, they are looking for political power, spiritual power. And God brought it to them in the form of a gospel. That if you believe the gospel, you access power. If you believe the gospel, you access what? Wisdom. It was too simple, they missed it. My prayer for you also, it will be that it will not be too simple that you missed it. The wisdom of God. One of the mistakes, and I say this with all humility, one of the mistakes that we've taught in church is to teach people to raise them to be like pastors instead of being Christians. For example, if a pastor comes and shares a testimony of how he went and preached somewhere on his way back, somebody gave him a check of 10 million naira. How many of you know the whole church will go agog and shout amen? Guess the image they are going home with, that in their house, somebody will visit them also and give them a check of 10 million. So our way of expecting is that the pastor is preaching from, permit me to borrow the word, profession. Because that 10 million, don't get me wrong, that 10 million was given to him as an exchange of value for something he offered. He was a blessing to someone in his space. If he stays in his house and he doesn't go out to be a blessing, that won't happen. Mm-hmm. That means he was able to reach into the wisdom of God in him. Bring out a message. Bring out something. A word that encouraged someone. He was able to bring out power that brought healing to someone's body. He was able to reach out into the rich deposits of Christ in him. And he brought out something that blessed someone. And the person was willing. Somebody say, I'm making this sound very economical. It is very economical. Reached out and said, Kai, for this thing, God has touched me. Here is 10 million naira. Now you go home with that mentality and do what? And sit down. The same blood was shed for you and the pastor. You have offered no value. Other than you prayed, and you prayed wrongly. In that prayer, you did not pray for anybody. That means even in your closet, you did not generate value to be a blessing to someone. The prayer was, Lord, what you did for Pastor Simon, may it be my experience also. As it is in him, let it also be in me. How? So every time we are looking, we've turned Christians to a set of people who are handicapped at the mercy of someone's what? Handouts. That is not who you are. That mentality does not possess gates. Is that the same way the pastor sits down, meditates, prays in the Holy Ghost, a message comes to him. You are an engineer, a medical doctor. You can also pray. You can also meditate. You can also come out with something that when you offer it to people, Somebody will look at this design and say, look, if you tell the person, I'm just going to give it to you for 100 million naira, the person will be like, let's not debate about it. You know why? Because you are even being a blessing to him. Looking at the worth of what you are bringing out. Am I talking to someone? You see, that is why when you set out to walk, it is not labor. It's that you are setting out to be a blessing. So that the wisdom of God begins to cascade through us. It is as we are doing this that we are establishing the gospel in the lives of others. That we can now tell them that, look at, this is what Christ has done for me. And who has brought, the person who has brought me from where I used to be to where I am right now is Jesus. So we become living testimonies and epistles of the workings of God's grace in our lives. What is wisdom? Because one of the things you see in this scripture is that every time the Bible, Paul talks about Christ, he talks about him in connection to wisdom. He talks about him in connection to light. He talks about Christ as the wisdom of God, as the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Look at what he says. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Can you give me the Amplified? I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified. In the past, do you know how we read that scripture? I don't know anything. I don't know physics. I don't know carpentry. I don't know cooking. The only thing I've set my mind to know is who? Is Christ Jesus. If you truly know him, you will be teaching physics lecturers, physics. It's because of your shallow understanding of Christ. Look at what Paul says. I determine, the Amplified Translation says, for I resolve to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you, except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and him crucified. He said, just to know Jesus, the Messiah, and him crucified. If you truly know Christ, you will not want to know any other thing. You know why? Because everything you need to know about life will be found in him. I need to read something I saw. You know, I see Christians these days, they just say, I don't know anything, just the finished work. That's the most important thing. No, that's not what Paul said. The finished work is the most important thing. It is the most important thing. He said, I determined not to know anything except Christ and his finished work. That means I know Christ and I know his finished work. I have studied Christ. This thing that, what it means to be in Christ, that's what I want to focus on. That if they say that Paul is now in Christ, it doesn't make you an odder. That if I am in Christ now, I'm not just the regular guy. That's what I determined to know. I set my heart to put away these philosophies and be focused on the person of Christ. And not just be focused on the person of Christ. Hello, what does his resurrection, what does his death, burial, and resurrection mean to me? Where do I stand right now as a result of that? That's what I set my heart to know. And you set your heart to know that you'll be a fulfilled person in whatever you put your hands upon to do. Colossians chapter 2. Yeah, Amplified. Verse 2. Colossians 2:2. Okay, look at this. Hear this. For my concern is that their heart may be braced, comforted, cheered, and encouraged as they are knit together in love, that they may come to have all the abounding wealth, all the what? Abounding wealth and blessings of assured conviction of understanding, and that they may become progressively more intimately acquainted with and may know more definitely and accurately and thoroughly that mystic secret of God, which is Christ, the anointed one. Meaning this entity, this Christ, this being, this anointing is a mystic what? Is a mystic entity. And look at what it says in verse 3. It says, in him all the treasures of divine wisdom, comprehensive what? Insight into the ways and purposes of God, and all the riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie where hidden. Pause there. We were talking the other day, and someone was talking about the founder of one of the social media platforms. And he was telling me what he read about him. And hear what he said. This guy was a regular guy who was dropped out of school. Are you with me? See, somebody dropping out of school does not mean he's condemned. It's a mindset that has been set in you that school is the pathway to success. It's wisdom that is the pathway to success. I have nothing against education. I am educated. We have a school. But you can be schooled and not be wise. And a lot of what we call wisdom is being crafty. The word crafty is not a bad word. It means to be able to craft something. But it's only a part of wisdom. That is not all to wisdom. The Bible says in Jesus are all the treasures of divine what? Wisdom. The best way I can explain this is to have a phone you don't know what it can do. Somebody walks into this place. What's the latest iPhone? I'm not too much of an iPhone. Okay, Max something. Okay, let's say iPhone Max Pro. But imagine they bring an iPhone Max Pro and they give it to every person here. Do you know we'll receive a new mystic order? Now, the word mystic shouldn't put you off guard. Mystic means a designation that describes the attribute or character of a person. For example, you can say Pastor Simon the Warrior. It doesn't mean warrior is his surname, like I was telling you yesterday. It just means that warrior describes who he is. Christ describes who Jesus is. So you all have this iPhone Max Pro, and guess what some of you are doing with it? All you're doing is making phone calls, taking pictures, snapping with it, amen, and chatting with it, what again? Browsing with it. And another person is using it. That's where his office is. That's where his businesses are. It's from this same phone. How many of you know it's the same thing? But there are things installed in that phone that came with it, with the abilities of that phone that he doesn't know. So when Paul was saying that I determined not to know anything, is that I'm going to close my eyes to every other thing and focus on what has been put in this device for me. Do you get it now? See, that is what I determined to know. And that is what, church, we need to be determined in our hearts to know. If we want to lay hold on what? On the gates. It says knowledge and enlightenment. How did Moses know that if you stretch a rod towards a sea, it will divide? It's insight. It's insight. You will discover things that people will later start studying. Somebody was online recently and was talking about how every miracle has a science and every miracle has a drama behind it. I said, well, until you find the science and the drama behind it, it is a miracle. A miracle is a supernatural act of God. But there's something you need to understand. The people who work these miracles, people who work in the realm of the supernatural, because supernatural means another level of the natural. When you say you are working in the supernatural, it means that there is a level beyond this level that you are working in. When you say someone is a genius, what is genius? Who is a genius? Is it not someone who is believed to have high level of intelligence, creative abilities, and ability to do? That's why a genius is just someone who is experiencing quantum leaps of intelligence. That means at this level you are thinking, the guy has crossed 3-4 levels. That means he's seeing things that you are still learning to see. So you bring a genius into a class, and while you're still trying to teach him what is learned in SS3, the guy is talking about things that people are doing in what professors are thinking. What it means is that he has jumped all those levels of trying to write jam, and he's already seeing what professors are seeing. True or false? The Bible says in Christ, all these things that men are seeking to discover, they are already where? They are already hidden there. And what I'm saying is that when you begin to study Christ and you know who Jesus is, it will go just beyond your comforter, beyond just your what? Your provider. You begin to see him as the creative abilities of God in you. You will now reach into that place and begin to provide what? Solutions. To be a blessing to others. You know why? All of life's problems have their answers in Christ. And the man who is in Christ Jesus is a carrier of the person of Christ. And as you carry Christ in you, and you understand what you carry on the inside of you, you begin to generate what? Answers. One of our brothers in Abuja walked up to me this year and said, look, Pastor, a door has just opened up to me. Some of you know him. He brands, and he's been on this for years, and he's been working and having small jobs here, and then this big one just opened up for him. He said, Pastor, when he opened, my heart shook. He said, because the man who is seeking audience with me who wants to see me, who wants me to work for him. He said, I'm wondering what I'm going to tell him. Because he's a man who relates with people. This is a man who has everyday relationship with men in places of authority. I don't want to divulge his testimony in the open space. He said, that man, they ship his books to him in... If I say anytime they are bringing a man's books, they bring his books in cartons from Amazon. Say, but the man wants to see me. The man wants to, he wants me to come and handle his profile and do a job for him. I say it's because there's something in you that no matter how many books he reads, he will not see it. There's something Christ has dropped in you. He will read books, he will not find them. I said, and as you are going there, are you with me? And you open your mouth, he will give you a tongue and a what? A wisdom. That's what the word of God says. And his testimonies are before us to see. Yesterday as I was going, my brother met me and said, Pastor, I'm going to send my testimony to you. What was his testimony? So when I was posted to Boko, I didn't think that there was anything in Boko. He said, but it's in this Boko. If I yesterday said as he was coming to church, he's... phone was banging with alerts. Targets that people have not been able to make in other places. Guess where he's making it? Here in Boko. See, water will come out of dry grounds. You will sow the wisdom that Joseph had that he could. See, this is what we're saying. That somebody will look at dry ground and instead of complaining and saying that nothing is working here, will begin to dig and plant in that place. And the Bible will say that he reaped the same year 100-fold. Those are the kind of things that will be activated in your life to be a blessing to others. We give you glory. Wherever you are listening to me, can you just lift your hands? I just want to pray for you. All that you need, all that you want, you have. And after this weekend, I pray, your eyes will be open to see beyond where you are. You are tapping into the rich deposit of God's power on the inside of you and God's wisdom in you. You are going past just being the needy. You are the needed. You are blessed to be a blessing. I see doors that are opening for you. Opportunities that are yours for the taking. The creative abilities of God are rising up on the inside of you to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And like Jesus, you'll be sought after from different places in the name of Jesus.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.